If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. Great to see you here this morning. Great to be in the Lord's house. Great to think about what a price was paid for our salvation. And this morning, we're going to continue our study in the Jesus story, the Gospel of Luke, and how Luke lays out in the Gospel of Luke the story of Jesus for his friend Theophilus, who maybe has some doubts, maybe is not quite sure of the things he's been told about Jesus. And so in great detail, Luke lays these things out for him. Today we find ourselves in Luke chapter number 2, I'm going to begin in verse 40 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and I'm going to ask you to stand one more time as we honor God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40. And the Bible says, "The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Verse 41, "And now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan. And went a day's journey, they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Father, take your word. Drive the truths of your word home to our hearts. Father, help me just to be a mouthpiece. Father, may nothing I do get in the way of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, may your name be glorified in this place. May you be lifted up that you can draw people to yourself. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at the gospels, we see recorded in the Gospels the story of Jesus. We have just spent the greater part of 2 months looking at just the time leading up to and the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it's very interesting in the Gospels that you have time spent studying and looking at the time leading up to the birth of Christ, the birth of Christ. And then when we get to chapter number 3, we're going to see the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. The chapter 4, the wilderness temptation of Jesus. And he begins his earthly ministry. He begins his travels through Judea and through Samaria and into Galilee and the various areas. He extends his ministry in grand fashion. And the writers of the Gospels pen many of the miracles and many of the events that take place during that time. And then the last part of the Gospels, and they expand on it greatly. There's no more compact period of time that is given more attention than the last week of Jesus. And so in grand fashion, in great detail, they nail down the last week of Jesus as Jesus heads to the cross. And from the cross to the grave, and then the resurrection. But there's something that's been missing. It has been referred to in some circles as the lost years of Jesus, the hidden years of Jesus. But it's that period of time between his birth or early years, maybe 1 or 2 years old, and the time of his ministry beginning at age 30. There's a grand group of years there that we know very little about. One writer put it this way. In that period of time, it is like a rose garden from which God has given us a single rose to observe, to smell, to enjoy. And that is the passage that we see in front of us this morning. Because in that period of time that comprises some 26 to 28 years of time, we have a singular event recorded. And it is the event that we've read this morning, the event at when Jesus is 12 years old. And so there's no mistake that God allowed this event to be put in the scripture. There is a reason for it. There is importance in it. So I want us to take the time this morning to look at this event. I've entitled this message, Taking Care of Business, because indeed the Lord is focusing in on the business that for which he has come to this earth. He is beginning to get, and you may wonder at this, but at age 12, he is beginning to get focused on the cross that is before him. In a steadfast and resolute manner, he is on a journey that will take him to the cross. And so in this passage of scripture, we're going to focus in on one phrase that we find in verse number 49. And depending on the translation of the scriptures you have, it may say, in my Father's house, I must be in my Father's house, or I must be about my Father's business. Literally, those translations are equal. If you were in the Father's house, you were about the Father's business. You were taking attention or paying attention to or taking seriously the Father's business. So I wanted to take that phrase and use that as we begin to walk through this message together. If you have a bulletin and have an outline and you would like to follow along with us, we're just going to walk through this passage of Scripture in very simple form. First of all, there are some things about being part of the Father's business or my Father's business that you need to know. First of all, number one, part of being about the Father's business is being diligent and obedient in the small and mundane things of life. Part of being about the Father's business is being diligent and obedient in the small and mundane things of life. Now, I want you to look at verse number 40. We have very little written about these years, but verse 40, I believe, is telling and begins to reveal some things about what kind of child Jesus was. Verse 40, it says, the child continued to grow and to become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, we don't know a whole lot about what all that means, because we don't have the details of his daily life as a young child, even up to the point that we are in this scripture at age 12. But we do understand that the scripture is recording that he is on schedule. He is doing what the Father would have him to do. He is about the Father's business, even as a young child. Now, I believe that in this passage of Scripture, we have revealed to us that he was an obedient child. He was a child that walked in obedience in such a grand fashion that it was amazing to his mom and dad. Now, how do I know that? When you get down to verse number 48, Now, let me remind you, they have come to Jerusalem for the Passover. They have observed the Passover, done all those things, and now they are returning home, and Jesus has stayed behind. Now, the parents are assuming, listen, it's important that we get this. They are assuming that Jesus has been disobedient to them. They are thinking that he has been disobedient to him. And the truth of the matter, according to verse number 48, they are amazed that that has happened. What does that tell you about his life up to that point? He was an obedient child. He was such that it was amazing. They were shocked when they thought he had been disobedient to him. Now, anybody ever had a 12-year-old? Are you ever shocked when they're disobedient to you? No. So there is something interesting that is taking place in this child's life that establishes the fact that he has been about the Father's business in the very small, the mundane things, the things that are not even recorded in Scripture. Now, that's important for us, because if you and I are really going to be about the Father's business, it's not what we do in here on Sunday morning. It's not what we let everybody observe about us. But it's what's taking place in the house, in the grocery store, on the job, in the minor things that we would consider minor. The mundane things of in and out, daily living, those are the important things. Those are the things which set a pattern for us being about the Father's business. That's number one. Number two, notice on your study guide, part of being about the Father's business is reaching and accepting new levels of responsibility. Now, one of the things that I have observed over the years, both before I was a pastor and after I've become a pastor, is that there are people that, I know you're about to be shocked, okay? There are people that don't want to do anything in church. There are people that are in church that do not want to do, I don't want to serve anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I want to come and on Sunday morning be a consumer. You pour into me. I go away, enjoy it, come back next Sunday, and that's all I want to do. Okay. Now, I hope that, well, I'm not going to say that. And just go the other direction. It is possible that we here today, some of us may be that way. We're satisfied to sit on the sidelines and let everybody else do something. But what happened in the life of Jesus is he's on his way to the cross. He's about his Father's business. There are going to be steps that he has to take on his way to Calvary. Amen? Absolutely. He has to take some steps on his way to Calvary. So look at verse number 41. He begins to take a very important step on his way to Calvary in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. Now that's very important. His parents were very diligent in their faith. They knew that they needed to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now originally the Jewish males were required to come to the temple or the tabernacle. They were to respond and be there in person at the Passover, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and at Pentecost. They were required to be there three times a year. After the Jewish people got dispersed all over the place, that was impossible. It couldn't happen. So it got to the point that the devout Jews who were able, devout Jews, would come at Passover. And that is exactly what Jesus' family has been doing as a regular thing, is coming to Jerusalem at Passover. So verse 41, now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when, don't miss this, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. Now, why is that important? Because at age 12, a young man became a son of the law. He is now responsible to the law of God. Wasn't Jesus saying, no, I don't think I'll do it this year. I'll just stay home. Y'all have a good time. No. I'm on my way to the cross. I'm about my Father's business, even as 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old. I'm stepping up to the plate, taking on additional responsibility as a son of the law, and I'm on my way to Calvary. Now, here's what I understand from Scripture. We as the children of God are not responsible to get, quote, our fire insurance, get salvation, and then sit back and do nothing. We have a responsibility at that point to be involved in the Father's business. Seriously involved in the Father's business. Now, we're going to be talking a little more about that, so let's leave that for right now. Now, number three, part of being about the Father's business is understanding priorities correctly. Understanding priorities. Do you ever have to prioritize things in your life? I mean, do you have to decide what's important to do? You know, like this morning, get up. You know, I'd like to watch a football game. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. Oh, yeah, I've got church this morning. I got to do that. I'm preaching this morning. Make sure I'm prepared. Okay. So I've got all those things to do. I better prioritize those things, hadn't I? You know, I'll watch football and everything this morning and worry about the service after it's gone. No, I have to set priorities. Now, what we see in Jesus' life here, what is perceived as disobedience by his parents is really him setting some priorities. In verse number 43, the Bible says they had already come to verse 41 and 42. They've come for the Passover. They have stayed there for the complete time in verse 43. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, they have spent what we assume to be 8 days there, because the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is together. And they've spent 8 days in Jerusalem. They are packed up their things. They're getting ready to head back toward Nazareth. Now, they're not doing that alone, because a number of people from that general area, from Nazareth in that general area, have made the trek down to Jerusalem, and they're going as a caravan on the way back. Now, as they're beginning to go, the Bible says the boy Jesus, or literally the Jesus the boy, stayed behind in Jerusalem. He stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Now, Jesus is setting some priorities. Young man, about the Father's business. Growing to age 12, I'm now a son of the law. About the Father's business. What is the most important thing I can do is be about the Father's business. He is setting some priorities. Now, he's not doing this to be disobedient to his parents. He's not disregarding their instruction or anything. Apparently, they just assumed that he was going to pack up and be ready and go when they went. But he is involved in studying and learning at the feet of the rabbis. We'll talk more about that. He is setting some priorities. Here's the thing for us today. If you and I are going to be about the Father's business, we have to prioritize. If not, your time will get stolen away. You'll look up one day and you're 60 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, and you have not committed to be a part of the Father's business any step of the way. And your life will be gone. And you'll regret that you didn't give more to the Father's business. Number four, very quickly. A failure to understand the Father's business leads to frustration and anxiety. Now, what we see happened with Mary and Joseph is they get anxious, they get filled with anxiety because they are headed back to Nazareth. They are a day's journey back toward Nazareth. Anybody seen Jesus? You seen him? I don't know. Where's Jesus? I don't know. I thought he was with you. Many times in that caravan, the ladies would basically travel together and the men would basically travel together. It's very possible that one thought he was with them. And yeah, anybody ever left a kid at church, you know, and, I thought he was with you, you know, that sort of thing. But you got to understand, this is a little bit different. Jesus is 12 years old. By age 16, in that culture, normally, he would be ready to marry and have a family of his own. So when you're talking about a 12-year-old in this society, you're talking about maybe a 16, 17, 18-year-old of our society. You're talking about someone. So it's not like they left the 5-year-old in Jerusalem. But they have gone on their journey, and they're anxious, they're worried. Where is he? And so they begin to make their way back, and they come back, and in verse number 48, it says, did you not know, basically, that we are anxiously looking for you? You know why? Their priority. As much as they knew, I think they were prioritizing the Father's business, but their priority wasn't on the Father's business. They didn't know what the Father's business was for Jesus. They knew he was special. They knew there was something different about him. But I don't know that they knew that he was on his way to the cross. And so they were filled with anxiety. Here's one thing I know. If you are not about the Father's business, you will constantly be at odds with people who are about the Father's business, because it makes no sense to you. Number 5. Being about the Father's business is learning about the Father's business. Learning about the Father's business. Now, here's the scenario. They leave. They're a day out. And they discover he's gone. So that's one day. They make the journey back to Jerusalem. That's 2 days. Look around on the third day and find him. On the third day, they find Jesus. And what is Jesus doing? He's among the rabbis. He's sitting, listening. Now, you've seen the Sunday school literature. Maybe you've seen the pictures that show Jesus up at his 12-year-old and he's teaching the rabbis. Probably not the case. Probably not the case at all, because what happened in that culture is that the young person would never assume that role. Never assume that role. He would be at the feet of the rabbis. They would be talking. They would be sharing. He would be asking questions. They would be answering questions. They would be asking questions. He'd be answering questions. Back and forth in that type of setting. Now, I want you to notice something interesting. 3 days have gone by. Is Jesus worried? Is he scared? No, when they find him, he is perfectly content. You know why? He's learning about the Father's business. He is taken step by step in the Father's business, headed to the cross of Calvary. Probably one of the greatest concerns that I have, having been in Baptist churches from the time I was too small to understand to this present day, is that most Baptists do not know what they believe. Do you know one of the ripest evangelism fields for the Mormon church or Baptist that are not active? Because they don't know what they believe enough to combat what they're being taught. And they are sucked right in. Let me challenge you. If you are not a serious student of the Scriptures this morning, as you sit here, and I don't care if you've been saved for 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, if you're not a serious student of the Scriptures, begin today. Begin today. We have Sunday school classes that you can go in more in depth in the scriptures. We have Wednesday night classes and things you can be involved in. Be a serious student of the scripture. I'd love nothing more than to hear somebody come in on Sunday and say, you know, I was listening to this podcast this week. Hey, that's wonderful. Get more information. Get more studying. Every chance you get, become a serious student of the scriptures. That was for free. That was just a bonus. That was just the bonus part right there. Okay. Let's examine very quickly this phrase, my father's business. Number 6 on your study guide, examining my father's business. In verse 49, now in the New American Standard that I'm reading, it says, and he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? Which again, remind you, is an equivalent of saying about my father's business. So what is he saying when he says, my father's business? I want to break it down in that way. My father's business. Now, when he said my father's business, he does something that nobody's doing. He is saying, get this 12-year-old boy, folks, I am the son of God. First declaration of his sonship. I am the son of God. It is my father's business. Notice he didn't say our father's business, did he? He said, my father's business. He's my father. This is the son of God who is speaking to you. He said, my father. Now, what is so interesting, in the Old Testament, God is only referred to as father 14 times, and it is never in a very personal way. They talk about Father Abraham and that kind of sort of thing. But what they do not refer to God in a very personal and intimate way as Father. A new day is dawning. This one who's about his father's business is going to go to the cross where there can be that personal closeness that people haven't understood up to this point. So it is my father's business, my Abba, my daddy, my father. And then he says, my father's business. Well, what's the business of God? What is the father's business? What is it that Jesus is sitting at the feet of the rabbis? He's talking to them. He's asking them questions. They're asking him questions. He's answering questions, and they are absolutely amazed at what he is saying. The idea there is the word that is used there carries the idea of being basically to stand out of oneself. It means, like, you ever seen anybody that heard some news and go, get bug-eyed? All that? That's the rabbis. You know, who's this guy? Where did he come from? He's got greater understanding of the scriptures than we have. And he's 12 years old. What's the business of the Father? I need you to take your Bibles. And by the way, Sunday morning is a good place to bring your Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Verse number 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. And we'll just take a short little side note here. In looking at what the Father's business is, when he talks about, I must be about my Father's business, what is he really talking about? Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, these verses are speaking of Jesus, says, he is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God's like? Study the life of Jesus. Do a study in the book of Luke. That'd be a good place to start. Hey, we're doing that. You need to be here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether you can see it or not, he created it. whether thrones, this is an important part, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Okay, here's the exciting part. The very authority of Joseph and Mary, when they come back and said, "Why have you treated us thus?" He had granted them. Wait a minute. Did you get that? The very authority. Look again at verse number 16. It said, whether they be thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So every authority, delegated or otherwise, is created for him. Jesus could have kind of stopped right there and said, "Hey, Mondi, you know the authority that you have as my mom? I gave that to you. 12-year-old, you better not try that tactic on your mom." But Jesus is the Son of God. This is the very authority he has. Now let's go on and let's discover what the Lord's business really is. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Wonderful verse. We'll get into that some other time. He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Verse 19. Note this verse, 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And through him, what's he going to do? And through him to reconcile all things to himself. So, okay, he's on about the Father's business, headed to the cross that he might reconcile all things to God. Now, just implied in that phrase is that there's something that's broken that needs to be reconciled. Would you agree the world we live in is broken? Do you agree that sin has separated between us and God? Sin is separated between man and God. It is broken. And the job, the business, the agenda for Jesus Christ is go to the cross of Calvary that he might reconcile all things back to God. That's an amazing bit of business. I'm glad he was about his Father's business. I'm glad that he was at the temple learning more about his Father's business. I'm glad he was preparing for the cross of Calvary, which was ahead. He wasn't here just to heal the sick. He wasn't here just to raise the dead. He was here to go to the cross of Calvary. That's the reason he was here, so that he might reconcile all things back to God. Number 7. Continue to do the Father's business, even when others do not understand. Great instruction. Because if you're doing the Father's business, again, there'll be people that do not understand that you're doing the Father's business. And so continue to do the Father's business, regardless of who opposes you, who's against you, who likes you, who dislikes you. It does not matter. Continue to do the Father's business. Look at verse number 50. When he has just told them he had to be about his Father's business, did you not know that I needed to be about my Father's business? Verse 50, but they did not understand the statement which he made to them. Now, in defense of Mary and Joseph, think about this. The angel appears to Mary, tells her that she's going to give birth. As a virgin, it takes place. Some miraculous things take place at his birth. Some miraculous things take place as far as prophecy when he's presented at the temple after the days of purification. And then, as far as we know, it was silent for the rest of the 11 years in between, 10 to 11 years, somewhere like that, in between. Being human,
Are you prone to doubt? I wonder if that really was an angel. Did I have a bad meal that night? Did these things really happen? And so I'm kind of keeping these things and thinking about them in my mind, but I really don't understand what it's talking about, that this is going to be the Savior of the world. How is all that going to take place? And then I come to the temple, and he says, I've got to be about my Father's business. Mary and Joseph don't understand exactly what he means. So does that deter Jesus from being about his Father's business? No. But he walks in obedience and is about his Father's business for the next 18 years, and we don't hear a thing about it, but he was still about his Father's business. Look at verse number 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Says, I don't really understand what he said. What does it mean about the Father's business and all this? And she's not figuring it out, but she's treasuring. She's pouring these things over and over. She goes back to the time in the temple when Simeon says the things that he says about him, when Anna says the things that she says about Jesus. She goes back to her visit with Elizabeth, and she thinks about that, and she thinks about the visit from the angel, and she's pondering all these things. Just really at this point, not really clear what's going to happen to this son called Jesus. But he kept on about the Father's business. How do we know he kept on about the Father's business? Age 30, he's ready to minister. He's ready to go. He is on the road to the cross. He is preparing. And over in Scriptures talk about him being set toward Jerusalem like a flint. Knew his purpose. He was about his Father's business. Number 8, very important. We must also be about our Father's business. We must also be about our Father's business. Now, if the business of God is reconciling all things unto himself, what do you think our business is? Reconciling people to God. Oh, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Marching orders, fellas. Marching orders. We're to be reconciling the world to himself. So, let me end this by saying this. Everything we do as a church is meaningless if it does not involve reconciling the lost to Christ. It's meaningless. I mean, we can have lovely dinners, we can have great events and beautiful things, but if our focus is not on reconciling people to Christ, we've missed it. We've become more of a social entity than we have a church on mission for God. And so I want to challenge you, first of all, on the level of the church, that we be all about, and I mean all about, reconciling this world to Christ. And that we not let anything get in our way. Very soon, we're going to be making decisions on the building of the church. If we're not careful, we're going to let that sidetrack us from reconciling people to Christ. Is anybody in here have an opinion about the building? Oh, come on. Be honest, folks. Be honest. Every one of us have an opinion about the building. If we're not careful, we're going to let that keep us from reconciling folks. Well, I don't agree with her. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let me tell you. James Dobson, when he was in college, played tennis. And it was his dream to be the star tennis player for the college. I mean, he won trophies. He did. Many years later, he got a box. And in that box was his trophies. And the guy said, basically, I was cleaning out some trash bins. found your trophy. And you know what James Dobson said? If you wait long enough, all of your trophies will be discarded by others. Everything that you think was so important will be meaningless. It's only what we've done for the kingdom that's going to be lasting. That's the only thing that's going to be lasting. So I want to challenge you. As Jesus was steadfastly about his Father's business, pouring in here, learning, being obedient when nobody was watching, and then steadfastly headed to the cross. Let us steadfastly pursue reconciling the world to Christ.